Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're in the 18th chapter. We're going to begin with verse 23. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds, live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, some just got married, some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today, many watching us, are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. In 1968, Paul Anka, a songwriter, wrote a song for Frank Sinatra. Now, I realize we probably have a bunch of people don't know who I'm talking about, okay? But I've just heard this song many times, and it makes me think about this passage that we're going to study today. He wrote this song for Frank Sinatra, who was kind of, at that time, tailing a little bit in his career. Anka had found this song over in France, and he bought the rights to it, and he got the words changed. And it's the song, I Did It My Way. You ever heard that song? Shake your head if you've heard that song, okay? We got a lot of people right here to hear that shook their head, okay? But anyway, trust me. Let me give you some of the words. Listen to this. Here's the song that Sinatra sang, and Elvis sang it, and a lot of people sung it. I did it my way, and now the end is near, the words go, and so I face that final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear. I'll state my case, which I am certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. I did it. I did it my way. Now, I don't know all the motivation for that song. I don't know what everybody's interpreted it to be. But in my view, to have an attitude that says, I did everything my way, is antithetical to the Christian message. Because the truth is, anything I've ever done, my way ended up in shambles. And the whole reason we need the gospel, we need to be teachable. Life is made up of a choice. Basically, you either decide if you're going to be the Lord of your life or if you're going to allow the God creator of the universe to be the Lord of your life. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. You know, I tell that story about Muhammad Ali. He always said, I'm the greatest. And by the way, I loved watching him box, and the history of Ali is amazing, amazing athlete, amazing story. But you know, he would always say, I'm the greatest. And, you know, and people bought into that, you know. He's the greatest. And the story is told that he was on a flight, and the flight attendant said on the speaker said that the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt light. So we're about to take off, so fasten your seatbelt. Well, everybody complied except Ali. He wouldn't put a seatbelt on. The flight attendant went up and said, excuse me, sir, the captain has put on the fasten seatbelt sign. Would you please put on your seatbelt? He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And very quickly she went right back to him and said, Superman don't need no airplane either. Well, the idea The idea that we are to be meek, that we are to be teachable. That's what I want to talk about. Apollos, we're going to learn about Apollos today. Apollos was from Alexandria, and Apollos comes into our scripture, and Apollos actually is open to teaching. Now, the word meekness is not actually used in our text, but I went ahead and brought that in because the concept of meekness, you know, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The word meek means power under control. It's a teachableness. It's like the taming of something powerful. It's like a powerful horse that is taught how to use his power in the right way. So the title of today's message is Apollos. Meekness is not weakness. Okay? Now I want us to look at just six verses of scripture, and we're going to study this, and then I've got a really good surprise at the end after the invitation about our Samaritan's purse, the Christmas, the boxes that we do. Why am I going blank on what we call that? Operation Christmas Child. Operation Christmas Child. I got a special treat for you at the very end that I want you to share that we can't put online, okay? And so I want you to know about that. Now, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 18, verse 23, and I'm just going to read to verse 28. We're just going to read this together. I'm going to read it out loud. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. This is Acts 18, 23. After he had spent some time there, well, let's just say this. The Apostle Paul, in verse 22, comes back to Antioch. You remember, Antioch is the home base of all these missionary journeys. So Paul had come back after the second missionary journey. We've been talking about that all in these passages, about the first missionary journey, the second missionary journey. And then in verse 23, after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Interesting. Verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla, you remember this couple that Paul met, and he took them and they went with him to Ephesus, and he left them there. We learned about that in chapter 18, earlier in the chapter. He left them in Ephesus. Well, Apollos comes from Alexandria. He's there. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Well, that was new information. So evidently Apollos, who was a very gifted person, he was teachable because he listened to Aquila and Priscilla. And it's interesting that both the husband and the wife gave him encouragement and gave him instructions about the ways of the Lord more accurately. And they taught him about the gospel. He only knew about the baptism of John. And so we find this guy, Apollos. Now, in verse 23, it talks about Paul having been back in Antioch, and they believe after the second missionary journey, he was there maybe a year, maybe into the spring of the next year, and he spent some time there. He departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So, church family, we have been through two full missionary journeys. Matter of fact, I think we have an illustration of the first missionary journey. Do they have that? Okay. there's the first missionary journey, and I want somebody on the back row to read me the text. I'm just kidding. No. I don't know if you can see this very well, but he left Antioch and he went up into that area of Galatia, and he went fairly close on the first missionary journey, and then he came back to Antioch, all right? So we've studied that in Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14, all right? Then we have just finished the second missionary journey, which we have an illustration of that. He left from Antioch there on the right-hand side, and he went up through some of that area of Galatia. But if you remember, he was forbidden to go into Bithynia, which is up into the area close to modern-day Istanbul. And he went on the top there. And then you remember in Troas, he had a vision. Remember in Troas, the Macedonians said, "Come help us." And so as a result, he went over into Europe and he went to Samothrace. He went to all these places, Neapolis, Philippi. Remember what happened in Philippi? He and Silas were in jail and the Lord gave an earthquake. They were singing. Their feet were in the stocks and they were delivered. Then he came down and you can see where he went to Athens. We talked about him at Mars Hill. And this is in the second missionary journey. He was at Mars Hill. Then he goes to Corinth. And then he comes all the way over to Ephesus. He crosses over the Aegean Sea to Ephesus. And then he comes back down to Caesarea, goes to Jerusalem, goes up to Macedonia. He's back at Antioch, all right? So now we're going into the third missionary journey. I've got an illustration of that. See on the right-hand side, Antioch. And then it says that he's going to go to the churches to strengthen them. Well, he goes to all the churches, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia. These are the churches that he went to on the first missionary journey. We're beginning the third missionary journey. Now, it's going to go all the way from Acts 19, 1, into Acts 21, verse 14. So he is going to begin that, and you see there in verse 23, it says, "He departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples." Now, it takes a little parenthesis in the text, and it talks about this man, Apollos. Apollos is an example of meekness, not weakness. Meekness is power under control. I remember when I was a teenager, after I came to know Christ as Savior, our pastor used to tell us about meekness, and he said, "Meekness is this word, teachableness." All right? I know that might not be the right way to say it, but meekness is teachableness. Are you teachable? Well, Apollos, evidently, he took the teaching of Aquila and Priscilla. Because look at it. It says he in verse 25, he was fervent in spirit. He taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Talking about John the Baptizer, or as us Baptists like to say, John the Baptist. You know we go all the way back there to him. You know that, don't you? Okay, I'm just kidding. But the point is, John the Baptist, and he only knew that baptism. Well, we know that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And what did John preach? He said, "The Lord is coming. The Messiah is coming." And then when Jesus went down into the water, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Well, Apollos only knew of the baptism of John. But then by the end of these six verses of Scripture, he was instructed by Aquila and Priscilla. And then it says there at the end of verse 28, it says, "Showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." So here was this man, Apollos, who was a great orator, very gifted, and yet he was teachable. Church family, let me tell you, one of the greatest qualities we all need is the humility involved in being teachable and listening. Not being bullheaded, your way or the highway, or as the song said, "I did it my way." Okay? So I'd like to look at his life briefly in these six verses of Scripture and think about what it means to be meek. Matthew 11, Jesus said this, "Take my yoke upon you." That's the idea of get in the harness with God, get in the harness with Jesus. Take my yoke. You know, that oxen gets in a yoke, and he's in a yoke. Why? Because that strength can be used in a powerful way. He has to be teachable. It has to guide. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then he says this, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You mean to tell me that getting in a yoke is going to cause me rest? And look at the end of that in verse 30. This is Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy. The word easy there means beneficial. My yoke is beneficial and my burden is light. Let me tell you, the devil has a very strong yoke. And he will jerk your neck around and he will cause you such pain and pressure in your life. You go ahead and live the way you want to live. You do it your way, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to enter into the devil's yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Apollos had to be teachable. They took him aside. They explained to him. Look at verse 26. Let's just look at that verse. Verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside, probably in their home. They did not necessarily embarrass him in front of all the people he was teaching, but they took him aside and they explained. The word explain means it comes out of the purpose. In other words, they gave him the background, and it says they explained to him in verse 26 the way of God or the path of God, and then it uses this term more accurately. The word accurately means straight. It's the straightest, all right? Because his message was incomplete. Apollos was teaching the people in the synagogue, but he did not know about everything that had happened in the life of Christ. He just knew the baptism of John. So he was an expert in the Old Testament scriptures. But Aquila and Priscilla, they took him aside and they explained to him the ways of God more accurately or most straightest, because his message was incomplete. So I want real quickly for you to write down five things about being teachable. All right? Here's the first one. Number one, be teachable when gifted. Now, let me tell you about Apollos. In verse 24, the scripture says he was from Alexandria. Alexandria was the second most important city in the Roman Empire. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says it was the center for education and philosophy. The city was founded by Alexander the Great, and it boasted a university with a library of 700,000 volumes. The population of Alexandria was about 600,000, and it was quite cosmopolitan, being made up of Egyptians, Romans, Greeks, and Jews. At least a quarter of the population was Jewish, and the Jewish community was very, very influential. In other words, Apollos, when he came to Ephesus, he said, oh, wow, you're from Alexandria. Man, that's where they have the big libraries of Alexandria, 700,000 volumes. You must be very learned. You see, Apollos came with some respect. He was very gifted. He was very learned. And I remember going over to the Bodleian Library. Some of you have heard that Bodleian College over at Oxford. They have a big library, very famous library. I mean, beautiful, gorgeous library that is like the envy of every philosopher to want to go there to look at the Bodleian Library. I remember I used to study over in the Smathers Library. Y'all know what I'm talking about, across from the BCM. I used to study. They didn't call that the George Smathers Library at the time. It was just Library East is what they called it, okay? And anyway, I remember going in that library. You know, you just feel like you can learn a little better when those books are around you, I guess. I don't know. It's quiet or something. Well, he was from Alexandria. And then the verse 24 also says that he was eloquent. The word there is a two-pronged word that means he was learned, he had learned, but he was also skilled in speech. It's one thing to have the brain power, but to be able to vocalize it. Well, Apollos had that. They talked about him being a great orator. He was very eloquent. And then look at this in verse 24. It says he was mighty. Not only was he eloquent, but he was mighty in the scriptures. It uses the word power for that mighty. It means to be able. It means to be convincing. Apollos not only was from Alexandria, he was not only learned and eloquent, he could speak, but he had an ability to draw the net. He had an ability to make a convincing argument. So he was very, very gifted. So you think about it, it would have been real easy when this couple came to him to say, look, I need to tell you some things. We've been listening to you in the synagogue. You have incredible prowess with the Old Testament text of scriptures. You're mighty in the scriptures. And that was referring to the Old Testament. But they said, we want to straighten out your message a little bit and tell you some things and make it more accurate. How would you respond to that? If you'd come from Alexandria, you'd been there where the library was. You were eloquent. You could make an argument. Matter of fact, you don't lose arguments. And here's this couple saying, look, I need to, can we get with you? We want to tell you something more to make your message more accurate. I think it is pretty clear that Apollos was teachable. So I would just say this to you. The first thing is be teachable even when gifted. You have gifts. You have your way. But don't be so bullheaded about it that you can't receive instruction. Amen, church? So be teachable even when gifted. Number two, be teachable, not a know-it-all. If you look at verse 25, it says in verse 25, he had a lot of knowledge. In verse 25, it says, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Now, the word instructed is where we get the word catechism. You know what I'm talking about when you catechize something? The word catechism means to indoctrinate it. A catechism is a series of questions and answers. You use it to instruct people, especially children, in the ways of the Lord. And sometimes you have, in some denomination, you actually have a catechism that they learn and they grow up being able to quote the question. They grow up being able to quote the answer. And so he had he was catechized, all right? But even though he knew that, he was open to listening and to being instructed by Aquila and Priscilla. And so he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He had been indoctrinated in the way of the Lord. He was, the Bible says in verse 25, he was also fervent in spirit. Now if you notice, it's interesting. How many of you, I'm curious, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm curious. How many of you in your Bible, you got your Bible, let me see your Bible, hold it up. You got a Bible? How many in your Bible is the word spirit capitalized? Anybody? Because it's not referring that he was mighty or fervent in the Holy Spirit, but he had passion himself. In other words, he was fervent in spirit. He was aglow with the way he spoke. He was very passionate about the things that he taught. And so he came across incredibly knowledgeable. He came across incredibly gifted in the way he presented his arguments. Passion. I had a neighbor one time, an elderly man who was in World War II, and he fought over in the deserts of Africa, and he told me about Montgomery, the English general, the field marshal Montgomery, and he said that he had a way to motivate those troops, and he stood before the troops. Mr. Braddock told me this. He said he stood before all those troops, and he said, you can tell your sons and daughters that you fought in the English 8th Army. And Braddock said that, man, when Montgomery gave that speech, the people were just at a fevered pitch, like, let's go get Rommel, the desert fox from Germany. Why? Because Montgomery was incredibly eloquent, and he was passionate about it. And he was really, really gifted. You know, it's interesting that after that, they say, I read an account of this, that after he had success, he kind of became arrogant. I don't know if you've heard that, those of you that studied World War II history. He became kind of arrogant, and he wanted to be, he was always competing with Patton. He wanted to get the edge on Patton, and he wanted to get the edge on Eisenhower, and he was upset that his plan was not done on D-Day and all of this stuff, and he was upset about it. But he was very passionate, but after he had the victory in the desert in North Africa, he kind of became arrogant, so much so that Winston Churchill, who had been persuaded to appoint Montgomery to command of the Eighth Army, was famously quoted as saying of him, "In defeat, he's unbeatable. In victory, he's unbearable." Sometimes when you know something, you do well in something, you're tempted not to be teachable. Well, Apollos had that fervency of spirit. Apollos, but he did not come across as a know-it-all. And in verse 25, he spoke and taught accurately. The Bible says that in verse 25, he spoke accurately the things of the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. So his message got as far as John the Baptist. Wiersbe says this, "He knew nothing of Calvary, the resurrection of Christ, or the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He had zeal, but he lacked spiritual knowledge. God sent John to prepare the nation of Israel for their Messiah. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Those who were baptized looked forward to the coming Messiah. John also announced a future baptism of the Holy Spirit, which took place on the day of Pentecost." But Apollos didn't know that. And even though he taught accurately the Old Testament scripture, he didn't know about anything past the baptism of John. He had all that success and all that passion, and yet when this couple came to him and said, "We want to straighten out your message," he listened. He listened. So be teachable even when you're gifted. Be teachable, not a know-it-all. Number three, be teachable. You will be respected. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, the scripture says, "And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed in grace." He was respected. He went to the disciples in Ephesus. Are you ready? You ready for this? Because he had listened and his message, he used his gifts to get the right message out now. Aquila and Priscilla had given him instruction. Because of that, the disciples in Ephesus sent a message ahead to Corinth because he was going to go to Corinth, okay? He was going to cross to Achaia. We find out he goes to Corinth. "The brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him." The word exhorting means to turn forward. The root of it means to turn. In other words, they turned the disciples to receive him. Can I tell you something? When you're teachable, the people around you will give a recommendation for you. But if you're pig-headed and you're bull-headed and you're stiff-necked and it's only your way or the highway, you won't get that endorsement. You will not get that respect. But here we see that he did. So number three is be teachable. You'll be respected. Number four, be teachable. You'll be effective. Not just respected, you'll be effective. In verse 27, at the end it says, "And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace." The word "greatly help," the helped idea, is the word "consult." He greatly consulted with those believers. And it says he did it through grace. And the word "grace" means to rejoice. He did it rejoicing. There was joy in it because he had been teachable. He had been given an endorsement from the believers in Ephesus to go into Achaia, and they sent that endorsement ahead of him. And then when he got there, he was effective. Why was he effective? Because he was teachable. And the Bible says he greatly helped those believers rejoicing, being blessed. The word through grace means being blessed, or it means to rejoice, okay? So here we have it. We're down to the very end. Number one, be teachable when gifted. Apollos was gifted. Number two, be teachable, not a know-it-all. He had accuracy, but he just didn't have the complete message. You may not know everything about a subject. I may not know everything about a subject. Say amen. Amen. Don't be a know-it-all. Number three, you'll be respected if you're meek and teachable. Number four, you'll be effective if you're meek and teachable. And here's the last thing, be teachable, proclaim Christ. In verse 28, the Bible says that for he vigorously refuted. That word is a word that's dynamic. It's like a stretching. Vigorously, it means to make the case. He will make the case, and he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So what is the example? You know, in other words, he was teachable, and his teachability gave him boldness to proclaim the truth once he had the full counsel of God, and he did that. I think about the Apostle Paul. Was there anybody more of a leader than the Apostle Paul? He went on these missionary journeys. He proclaimed the gospel on Mars Hill. He went to Rome. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And yet, don't we remember when the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus and he had to be teachable? He was blinded. He went and Ananias came and prayed over him, and he was humbled. He was teachable, and then God used him. So the fifth thing is be teachable. Proclaim Christ. So Apollos ministered for a time to the church in Corinth, and his learning greatly blessed the people. As a matter of fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm not hearing any pages turn, okay? So just at least do that to humor me, okay? All right. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he became so effective that the people were divided, and they said, boy, I really want to follow Apollos. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there are no divisions. This church was in great division, and the Apostle Paul talks to the church. These are Christians he's writing to, and yet he says you're all divided up, that you speak the same thing, verse 10, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul. Some people said, I'm following Paul. And then look at this, I'm of Apollos. There's his name. I'm of Cephas or Peter. And then some got real spiritual and said, I'm not from any of those. I'm from Christ. They were real spiritual, right? And then he says, is Christ divided? Well, the truth is that Apollos gave the message. It was not his fault that they were following, just like it wasn't Paul's fault. But it just shows that he was on that level. But he started out with a message that wasn't complete. So he ministered in that way. He ministered in that way. But the truth of our six verses today, I think, what I pull from that and what I want you to see in this passage is, here was a guy that could have been stiff-necked, and yet he was teachable. He was meek. The last verse of that song I mentioned at the very beginning, listen to these words. It says, for what is man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. Pretty arrogant. not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of someone who kneels. Let the record show I took all the blows, and I did it my way. Sounds like a self-made, bowed up person. Can I tell you this? You can't take all the blows, because the hammer of God's judgment will come upon your life if you're not teachable, if you're not yielded to God in meekness. By the way, I was encouraged by this. Frank Sinatra's daughter, Tina, said this about that song. She said, "My dad didn't like it." That song, she says, quote, "that song stuck and he couldn't get it off his shoe. He always thought that song was self-serving and self-indulgent." Well, I sure hope that in Anka's life, who wrote the song, and Sinatra's life, who sung the song, that was true, that they felt it was self-indulgent and self-serving, and that they did become teachable and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that us, as believers in Christ, that we'll be teachable, and then as we are instructed in the ways of God, we will be bold in proclaiming Christ, because that is our assignment, that we do that. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.